broadcasting its staff or advertisers.
It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rahel.
And Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha-mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. And also now on paltalknewsnetwork.com. So do tune in where you can actually see us also and listen to us and also give us your feedback. So I want to remind you that we have an urgent need for support. We do stay on the air with your support. And so we'd like you to urge you to visit our website at www.israelisraelnh.com. That's israelisraelnewhampshire.com, israelisraelnh.com. And you can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal, that's one word, 1590@gmail.com. You can also send a check. You can pull that check out right this very minute and send it to Absolute Broadcasting, Post Office Box 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. I would like to bring your attention to, last week we had a very nice man, Rabbi Levi Krinsky of the Chabad Lubavitch, New Hampshire, which is putting on a Hanukkah show in conjunction with the Palace Theater of Manchester. And it will be the fourth annual Hanukkah show at the Palace event, a very unique event that will combine an exciting evening at the theater with the vision of celebrating the joyous Festival of Lights with the greater New Hampshire community. There are two feature acts this year, Harmonia and Circurious, which we are not going to tell you what they are until we get closer to the date. So keep listening if you want to know who Harmonia and Sir Curious is. But in the meantime, that will happen on December 5th at 6:30 in the evening at the Palace Theater, 80 Hanover Street in Manchester. And you can call for tickets at 603-668-5588 and find out more at www.lubavitchnh.com. LubavitchNH.com. We'd also like to thank Vern Main. He's been a loyal sponsor. The patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main & Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua and on the web at www.vernmain.com. vernmaine.com for professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters. Contact the legal specialist at Vern Main & Associates at their offices again on 547 Amherst Street in Nashua. That's Route 101, by the way, if you're traveling that way. And on the web, vernmaine.com, www.vernmaine.com. So, after all of that, we would like to, I'm going to turn you to Sonia, who's going to give us this morning our Hebrew word.
Tzionut.
Tzionut.
Yes.
And Tzionut is the term of Zionism, what we know Zionism, and was born, if you want, came to the world in about 1890, by Nathan Birenbaum, which gave this name. Zion means Jerusalem, and Zionism means the movement, the Jewish national movement for the return of the Jewish people to their homeland and the resumption of Jewish sovereignty and the land of Israel. advocated from its inception, tangible as well as spiritual aims. So Jews of all persuasion, left and right, religious and secular, joined to form the Jewish the Zionist movement, and they worked together toward the common goal of the establishment, and they tried to continue existence of the Jewish state in its ancient homeland, which I think that we've been successful.
Successful, although, you know, these, as always, it seems that, you know, people have questions about that.
Well.
but Israel stands and exists. We are going to play you a little bit of music from the Zionist labor movement from the 19th century.
Okay.
Время не терпит дружней за работу. Трогнул престол самодержца царя. Близится час рокового расчета. Поднимем вспыхнул жизни заря. Близится час рокового расчета. Поднимем вспыхнула жизни заря.
So you're laughing.
I am stunned. In
Why?
Russian?
Why? In Russian?
Because you never told me it's going to be in Russian.
Well, you know, the Zionist movement did start in Eastern Europe.
Sure, so it's true. But the Zionist movement also decided that they are going to speak the Hebrew language, and they brought the Hebrew language again from the archive. They dusted off, and here we are. So I'm with them.
That's right. But I wanted to give a little bit of a feeling of how it all started. Where did it come from?
Okay.
And the reason why we're talking about Tzionut today, Zionism, is because we have a very, very, very good guest today. And her name is Lori Lowenthal Marcus, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Lori before we invite her to speak. She is a co-founder of Z Street, which is the new Zionist organization which advocates for Israel. She has been a full-time Israel advocate and lecturer for many, many years, a grassroots activist, a Middle East news radio show co-host, kind of like us, and a journalist. She was the founding board member, a founding board member of Media Central, which is a unique Jerusalem-based organization that works with foreign journalists in Israel. Why? To improve the accuracy of their Middle East reporting, which we know is in sore need. And was also the past president of the Greater Philadelphia District of the ZOA, which is the Zionist Organization of America. Lori earned a JD from Harvard University, a master's in law and social policy, and a master's in policy and program development from Bryn Mawr College, and a BA in American Studies magna cum laude from Brandeis University. So before she was an Israel activist, she was a litigator in a major Philadelphia law firm with a First Amendment law practice. And after all that, she also taught in area law schools and graduate schools. Woo! Boker Tov, Lori Lowenthal Marcus. Are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov. We are really, really honored to have you on our show today, especially with that long list of credentials and all the activism that you've been doing, and especially knowing that you're a founder of Z Street.
Yes, thank you. I have evolved in my activism, and I hope haven't stopped doing any of the different pieces, but have combined all of them, and you all know how essential it is to have as many people as possible doing as much as possible. So thank you for having me.
That's for sure. I hear birds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have all kinds of animals, but the birds are noisy.
Oh, that's nice. I don't know, with such a long resume, is there anything else we can add to that?
Yes, it's very important. I'm the mother of four and the wife of one.
Oh, good. We're past that stage of polygamy, huh?
Thank God. Yeah. Yes. I have four children, ages 14 to 21. All of them went through Jewish day school. My three younger ones are now in a modern Orthodox high school.
Mazal tov, yeah. Baruch Hashem. We really brought you here to speak about Z Street today, and we wanted to know what inspired you to found the organization and under which circumstances.
I have to say I first really turned my attention very seriously towards Israel when a young man whom my husband and I met in Israel was murdered by terrorists.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, of course. Noam Apter changed my life. Mm-hmm. Noam Apter was the young man who was on kitchen duty in the Otniel Yeshiva when four terrorists broke into the kitchen and shot the four of them to death. As he was being murdered, he leaped across the kitchen and locked the door into the dining room, saving all the boys inside. And Noam was an astounding and beautiful human being and a hero in the very last moment of life in a way that none of us can know whether we could ever match that. So I wrote about him because I was so inspired. And I also, just as an aside, have to say that I finally met his family this summer. I went to Shiloh and met them, and it was incredibly moving experience. And I hope people learn about Noam because he's very important. Mm-hmm. So I started spending a lot of attention, a lot of time paying attention to what was happening in Israel. And once I started getting the facts, I realized that the mainstream media had it wrong so often. But that's what everybody reads, and that's where they learn what they think are facts. So I started writing about that, and then I had, as you mentioned, the radio show, getting the word out, getting more people to speak publicly, getting other people involved and knowledgeable. And still felt a level of frustration, and I have to say that J Street was not the reason I did it, but it was the last straw. Once I saw yet another organization that pretends to be pro-Israel and is feeding so much bad information to the world, and now we know why, but was immediately very, very well funded. Mm-hmm. I thought, that's it. It's time for a true Zionist organization, or another true, there are some others, another true Zionist organization to get to work.
Yeah, the more the merrier, definitely. With
we don't have enough.
Right.
There aren't enough, and we all need to support each other, and I certainly support the other ones and have had nice support from them.
But with the education that your kids are gaining, they will be our future leaders.
That's the goal. That's definitely the goal. They certainly hear about it at home. I have to say that the school that they attend is a wonderful Zionist school, in addition to learning everything that one hopes to learn in Jewish day school. It's a real source of Zionism also. So I'm lucky to have that in our area, and I wish there were more schools like this.
Right. I would like to ask you, what's the meaning of Z Street for our listeners, and also who are the people which are helping you to come up with new and different ideas in order to put Z Street on the political map, if you want?
Well, Z Street, as I said, J Street wasn't the reason we started, but it was, you know, the final straw, and right. Z Street is definitely a play on J Street, but I don't think people know. I think most people think J Street is named, the J is for Jewish, and mm-hmm. it has absolutely nothing to do with being Jewish. They picked J because although there are lots of street names that are letters in Washington, D.C., there wasn't a J Street, and so they said, okay, theirs is the missing voice. And I thought, well, we're Z Street, that's Zionist, we're proud of it, we want to say it every time we say the name of our organization, Z, that's Zionist, mm-hmm. Z Street, and to play politics a tiny bit and to use terms that I prefer not to, but I don't have a choice. We are as far to the right from Jay as you can get.
Well,
and we think that this is the right path.
No, we're very glad that you exist. I mean, I don't want to bring a lot of attention to J Street on our show,
right.
But you know, I did see the recent debate between Alan Dershowitz and J Street founder, who I will not mention, but and you know, you have to really be strong in your identity as a Jew, as for what who you are, and also your support of Israel. It's important, and J Street doesn't support that, unfortunately. It really doesn't. It doesn't speak for Israel. It may speak for some Jews who have certain beliefs, but it doesn't speak for Israel.
It certainly doesn't speak for Israel. It doesn't speak for preserving Israel, and we need to have more people who understand what's really happening and aren't being fed the misinformation. If you hear the words occupation over and over again, you think it's actually true, when of course we know that there isn't an occupation, unless there is, if you want to say it, it's an occupation of the Arab-Palestinian leadership of their own people. That's the occupation, if you need to use that word.
Exactly.
I didn't answer Sonia,
right,
the other part of your question, which is who is helping me come up with ideas. And I have a fantastic board of thinkers and doers, people who are activists in their own right, and are, I know them from years of being on the internet and reading their articles and working with them at different events and seeing them speak at rallies and watching their organizations grow. And so we're in constant communication. This is a board of people who, this isn't, you know, rich people sitting on a board. These are people who are real clear thinkers and very smart people. And also, I have, you know, as all of us do, we have the ability to look on the internet and read the news as many hours a day as our eyes can hold out, and we see what needs to be done, and that's an impetus for what we need to do.
I want to stretch a point. Both of you spoke about supporting Israel, which this is why I'm here. But I think that it is extremely important to say loud and clear that we are supporting Israel, not only because this is Israel, but because this is from a right moral point of view to support Israel. This is right from wrong.
Of course, it's right and it's correct. The problem that we run into, or I've run into over and over again, is you have people who think that what they are doing in bashing Israel is really the right thing, because Israel, they read in the media, Israel is doing terrible things to the Arab Palestinians, and Israel stole the land from the Arabs. And so they think they are doing the right thing. And of course, it's incredibly painful for those of us who know
that we bought the land.
Well, is this not a good week to be talking about this? Of course, this week the parsha is Chayei Sarah.
Exactly.
You know, what great efforts were taken to describe exactly what we did, what was done by a Jew for Jews, to own the land. Look, we didn't take it from anyone. Even when they tried to give it to us, they said, no, we are doing this. We're going to have a deed. We're going to have it fair and square. And we need to have sovereignty. This is essential. It's essential. And we do now, again, have the reborn state of Israel. And again, they're trying to encroach on our sovereignty. It's a sad, difficult time for us, and I know you two are. I hope everyone who listens is doing whatever they can to protect the Jewish homeland.
Right.
And let's call it the Jewish homeland also, because when we say Israel, I don't only mean whoever is in power at the moment, because we've had some pretty misguided leaders in the past, and we need to stand strong, and exactly as you say, Sonia, we have to do what is right, and what is right is what you know from having the knowledge and understanding what the facts are.
And beside, to stop blaming the victims. This is the moral thing. You spoke about Noam from Shiloh, yeah. And I have friends in Shiloh, and I'm coming from a friend, which she was assassinated in her own home together with her own family. So this is right from wrong. Somebody is killing you into your own home. Into the autobus, in the pizza, wherever. This is a clear moral statement that you should and must understand. You know, more than everything, this is my feeling.
And I think you were speaking also about rightness in the moral sense.
Exactly, this is what I'm saying.
Lori, I wanted to ask you, I understand that Z Street is having some issues with the IRS. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Most people have a general sense that there are nonprofit organizations that can apply and are approved for tax exempt status, which means when someone makes a donation, they can get a tax exemption. And obviously that's a great incentive for people to make the donations. So, as with virtually all other nonprofits, once we incorporated, we then applied for 501c3, that's the tax exempt status, with the IRS. And we applied in December, and we waited. In May, we finally got a letter from the IRS saying they wanted some more information. We supplied that, and more time went by. So our corporate lawyer repeatedly called the agent in charge of our file and finally connected with this woman in July. And the agent said, oh, it's taking a long time because they, at the IRS, they have to give special scrutiny to any organization connected to Israel.
Really?
Yes.
So say that again, that the IRS needs to give special scrutiny to any organization connected to Israel?
That is correct. That's what she said. That's what she told our lawyer. Now, this is on official IRS time, an official IRS agent making a statement representing the IRS. And she said it to our lawyer. She also said, this agent, that some applications are being sent to a special unit in Washington, D.C. to see whether the positions of the organization contradict those of the administration.
So if it's contradictory to the policies or the practices of the administration, also needs to go to a special unit.
That's right.
Hello? Oh, I think we lost Lori. Lori, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Something into the phone. But this is about as clear a case of viewpoint discrimination as you can find. Really, you know, the government officially using its official power to penalize an entity because it has a view other than what the government position is.
Well, it makes me wonder what is the government position, but we won't go into that.
Z Street is, we're not playing the game of a Palestinian state immediately, and that's the goal of the entire peace process, and that appears to be the position of many people in the United States government, but also officially the position of the U.S. But, I disagree with that, the government's position. But I'm an American, and that's what our Constitution is all about. We get to say what we think is right. I mean, I didn't kill anybody. I am advocating for a position.
You just
and educating about Israel.
Right. Right. Lori,
so that's huge. It's huge. It's so enormous that a lot of people who are inclined to be very supportive of what we all believe simply cannot accept that that happened. It can't be right. She couldn't have said that. In fact, there's a former IRS commissioner who said on the record to a newspaper that it can't be true and Z Street must be doing that just to get publicity, which is so outrageous, I have to tell you.
I hear that a lot, actually.
Huh?
I hear that in regards to many other things that are, if you're pro-Israel and you're speaking things that sound against other people's views and opinions, then they say, oh, it must be a publicity stunt or something else. And
well, but let me just say that I'm a lawyer. My husband, who is the litigator on this case, is a lawyer. We filed these documents. We're officers of the court. You know, it's an outrageous statement. It's absolutely slanderous. And also, you know, people need to understand how lawsuits work. You know, we have evidence. They will say whatever they're going to say. But the truth is, this is discrimination against someone who's trying to support Israel, trying really hard to support Israel, and isn't following, you know, the official position. And it's completely un-American. In fact, I have very good Israeli friends. When I first told them, they said, that's not possible. The United States is the bastion of democracy. I said, yeah, well, that's what we thought. That's what we're suing to enforce.
Well, kol hakavod, Lori. We have to take a short break. And if you give us a moment, we'll be back with Lori Lowenthal-Marcus of Z Street. WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, and you're listening to Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Sonia.
Vision. Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that Israel Innovation that Israel has the highest per capita rate of university degrees in the world? Receive Vision's emails alert and stay informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities. Please visit our website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org. And Rachel is spreading beautiful music across the globe. To hear Rachel's unique sound and to book Rachel to perform for your live, go to www.rachelmusic.net, which is www.rachelmusic.net. And we are back with Lori Lowenthal-Marcus. And I have a question for you. Lori, in your opinion, can you define what has happened to Zionism, new portrayed as a dirty word, but that really defines the fervor, the yearning, zeal and pride that was present before and after the establishment of our Jewish homeland? Can you tell us where Zionism and all those sentiments have gone today? And when I'm speaking about sentiment, I'm speaking about anti-Semitic sentiments and anti-Jewish sentiments and anti-Israeli sentiments.
That's a very important question, and it's one for, I think, people who are experts in the mental health world. And okay. I say that really honestly. I don't understand why it is that people are embarrassed to say that they're Zionists. And even people who say, I believe in Israel, I believe in Israel as a Jewish homeland, but I'm not a Zionist. Because they have bought into the idea that it's a bad word, a bad label to have, which is one of the reasons why we put Z right there in our name, and we're Zionists, and we say it all the time. We have to get rid of that stigma. I think people are they're embarrassed about being what they perceive to be to see as provincial. But then the question, of course, is, well, why would being a Zionist, why is Zionism seen as provincial and something that's only about yourself, only about a small, unimportant space? And so that's why I get back to it's a mental health issue. We're not proud. We're not sufficiently proud of Israel. We're embarrassed by, when I say we, I'm talking about the people who suffer from this affliction, and which most certainly is not me or you guys. And, you know, Ken Levin, who is a brilliant, both a psychiatrist and has a PhD in history, wrote a book called The Oslo Syndrome, Delusions of a People Under Siege. And it's really is about why Jews are so quick to be anti-Israel and apologize for Israel. And he describes it as similar to the abused child syndrome. And what he said that is driven by is a need to feel control over the problem because then you can fix it. If a child who's being beaten by his parents feel like there's something he or she can do that will make the parents happy, it will stop. And if you don't see it as your fault, it's not something you can fix, which means you have absolutely no hope. That's very, very painfully sad about children. But I can understand what's driving that. But we're an adult people. And so I don't know.
It's baffling. It is baffling.
It really is. I wish I could understand it. And we have so many examples of people who, Jews, who use Zion Nazis as, you know, a term that's applicable to anyone. So I don't understand that. And aside from the real hatred, I think so much of it is simply misinformation. I think a lot more people would feel the pull towards Israel and see it as acceptably accurate and beautiful as the vision of the Jewish homeland. But they just don't have the facts. And so that's why all of us are doing what we need to do.
I think it's possibly a lack of knowledge of history, of identity. I don't know, but
it's also education.
As they say, if you say a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. It's what people believe, and that's been certainly put out there for years and years now. A lot of lies against Israel, a lot of untruths.
Well, sometimes we have to call it what they are. Sometimes they're actual lies. For example, Haaretz has a columnist, Amira Haas, and she has written for years about Jew-only roads in Israel.
Nothing like this.
There are roads that are only for Israelis. That's okay, but if you're an Arab Israeli, you're a Christian Israeli, you're Druze, you're anything else, you're Israeli, you can drive there. And since when have the governments of countries not been able to make decisions about what is appropriate for their own people and for people who aren't, and particularly given the level of terrorism. But to say Jew only is a lie, and she knows it, and the editors know it, and yet they continue to publish that, and it really does harm our image, the image of Israel. It furthers the idea, it validates it.
Well, I'd like to just say that, you know, I'm glad you said that Israelis are comprised of Jews, Arabs, Muslims, Christians, all sorts of people that live in Israel. And, you know, people don't realize that. You know, a lot of times you'll see also recently there have been some incidents on airplanes, and they say an Israeli did this. Well, it was an Israeli Arab that did it. And, you know, Arabs live in Israel too, and they're Israeli. They have Israeli rights. They sit in the Knesset, have a voice. And
Rachel, I have to tell you, this my best example is we've all seen this absurd name. You know, Israel is an apartheid state.
Yes.
Now, the best example of a slam dunk for us, I think, is to show people the newspaper article or describe to them Ahmed Tibi, an Arab member of Knesset, claiming that
and
Israel
my
is
former
an apartheid
gynecologist.
State in Canada. Excuse me, what are you talking about? You're an Arab and a member of the government. How could you possibly say the word apartheid? You are a living example of it not being an apartheid state.
Right.
Or to take this lady, which is she's also in the parliament, Hanin, which she was in the peace flotilla. And, you know, this is absolutely, like, who can permit something like this to let's say, to stay in the Congress and to go against your own country? I don't think that, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't think that the United States will accept it.
Well, we have pretty serious sedition laws, although we've never had anything like that. We have never had anyone in our government, and look how free we are. I'm saying we as in the United States,
right.
We are a real democracy. But we don't have people like that in government saying outrageous
right.
statements.
Exactly.
And in Israel, which is being criticized for being anti-democratic and an apartheid state, you have members of the government saying that.
Well, wait a second. Lori, there was an incident, I believe, when Obama was speaking and somebody in the audience said he lied. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, that was shut up pretty quickly, wasn't it?
That's true. He was vilified. And it was not accepted. It was not acceptable.
Right.
People were outraged by that. It's pretty astounding. And yet, you know, free speech is revered. And rightly so. It's revered in Israel, and yet Israel gets 0 points for that. You know, where else can you say what you want and speak to the press and write what you want in the Middle East but in Israel?
Right. And
exactly.
I want to speak a little bit about the Middle East and human rights, if
Good.
You don't mind. It's, you know, we always hear about the rights of the Arabs who are today referred as Palestinians. They're not all Palestinians. As we said, there's some of them are Israelis. And we need to clarify that the Palestinian Authority, known as the PA, doesn't allow any Jewish Israelis to live in their designated territories. And not only to live there, but they can't even enter there. So, we know that there are hundreds of bills and things that have been written against Israel as human rights violators. But what about the rights of the Jews? When does that happen? And I'm always wondering... you know, anti-Semitism seems to be allowed to grow and flourish and you know, have its heyday all the time. When is someone going to stand up for the rights of Jews and this hatred against Jews? Where is that in the world?
Well, part of the problem is that those people who do stand up and say, excuse me, but, and then point out all the different ways in which, not only in which all people who live in Israel who are citizens of Israel have far more rights than they would have anywhere else in the Middle East, but just exactly as you say. And why is it why is it okay for there to be any discussion whatsoever about there being a Palestinian state where not a Jew can live or breathe?
Right.
Why is that okay? And the United States government is saying that, and France is saying that, and Spain is, you know, the entire, virtually the entire world in the United Nations is moving along on that path as if that would be an appropriate state to be bring into being, a place where Jews cannot be.
Right.
So where is it? We're not talking about that enough. People are embarrassed. Again, they're embarrassed to talk about it. And, you know, eyes roll when you talk about Judenrein. But keep talking about it. It's essential. People need to understand that that's exactly what they're talking about if they're talking about the creation of a Palestinian state now under the current leadership that they have.
Right.
So where is it? I don't know. It doesn't exist, and we don't have enough people who are standing firm and willing to be humiliated because they're right now demarginalized, really marginalized. And so it's our job, mine and yours.
I think that it is not only about to be embarrassed when somebody is listening about the future so-called Palestinian state without Jews. It is also a great coverage about what it will be, how the future state will show off, and what will be the, you know, the values, and for what this state will stay for. So it's absolutely without knowledge. People are putting slogans outside, and they don't have any knowledge behind
they
it.
They are, and unfortunately, it's not only in the rest of the world. People within Israel are doing it also. And it's very discouraging, and rightly so, for all of us in the fight who are trying to prevent them. They say, well, but Israel says it. The government of Israel says it. Israeli spokespeople say it. People who are allegedly, you know, very brilliant people are saying it has to happen. So who are you?
We want to ask you one or two more questions because we're going to run out of time soon. But, you know, first of all, I hope that you get that official status from the IRS very soon. And let's talk about what, you know, the kinds of outreach programs you have. How about with working with today's youth, younger generation, about education? Tell us a little bit more about how Z-Street plans to work and is working. And what else we can do to get the message across?
Great, thank you. One of the ways that we're reaching people on campus is by having Z Street is getting the word out slowly, but you know it was picked up really around the world. I wrote one article, and within 2 weeks, there were 20,000 hits on this little blog I set up in 5 minutes.
Baruch Hashem.
And from over a dozen countries and more than two-thirds of states in the United States. And so people know about Z Street, not enough people, but some. And so slowly on campuses, we're being contacted by students. We'd like you to come and speak. Can you give us information? And so, you know, you hear from one, then your name is passed on to another. We've been in Tennessee and in New York and in Florida. And so it really needs to be done through networking and informal relationships that are developed over time.
A kind of a word of mouth kind of...
It is word of mouth, and then at some point you have enough recognition that you can start doing things, you know, trying to set up chapters or, you know, frankly, I just want people to be educated. I hope the students on campus are learning. I am on the board of our local Hillel, and there are problems on a lot of campuses, but I've been able to work through. We had an event on campus when that other street organization had an event at the one of the local Hillels here, and so students learn about it and want to have some assistance. So that's a great thing. We are going to have an event in the spring in Washington, D.C., and it's really our first major initiative, and what we want to do is, and this is really why Z Street, this was probably our main goal, is to change the way the discussion is held about the Israeli-Arab-Palestinian conflict.
Right.
Because right now, it's if you raise that, say, Arab-Palestinian Israeli conflict, everybody says two states. It's like a sneeze, you know,
Gesundheit,
two states.
Right.
And
Gesundheit.
Right. We need to change that, and we need to do it in a way that allows people not to get their backs up, because right now they're very comfortable with the Gesundheit. It's hard to change a habit.
Right.
So we are going to have some really, truly amazing, wonderful speakers, and we're doing it in Washington, and I hope maybe you'll have me on again to talk about it.
We would love to.
At the time, mm-hmm. Because I think it will be something pretty major, and we will give policymakers the opportunity to talk about the conflict and with a resolution. We're calling it Rethinking the End Game. The end game should be about lives in the Middle East and not about the creation of a geopolitical unit.
Right. I'm so glad you're trying to change the conversation, because that's sorely needed. Lori, we're going to have to bid you adieu for now, and we will have you back to speak about that. As soon as you're ready, let us know. And just before we let you go, can you just tell people how to contact you and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. The website is, couldn't be easier, www.zstreet.org. You can, it says contact us, click that and send an email. You can sign up for the newsletters. I try not to send anything out too often, but lots of information when I do. And we really welcome people in the conversation. We want as many people as possible to participate, because there are a lot of people out there with really good ideas, and let's move on them.
Great. Lori Lowenthal-Marcus of Z Street, and you can find out more about Z Street at www.zstreet.org, zstreet.org, and it's been a pleasure to have you on, and again, we look forward to speaking with you again as soon as you're ready. Let us know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.
Okay, so we are at Parashat Chayei Sara, and in this week's Parashah Chayei Sara, we read about the death of Abraham and Sarah, who are the father and mother of the Jewish people. The rabbis tell us the deeds of fathers are an example for the children. Because we are all children of Abraham and Sarah, we can learn from their actions. One of the ways that Avram and Sarah distinguish themselves is in the decision they took to go against the cherished ideals of society and to build their own lives based on a belief in one God. For this reason, is Avram referred to in the Torah as Ha-Ivri, the Hebrew. Rashi explained that the word Ivri is related to the root of the word meaning ever on the other side. It is as if Avram put himself on the other side of world opinion. The whole world at the time worshipped idols, yet Avram believed in the one God. That is why we, the children of Avram, are called Hebrews. Avram was not intimidated by the fact that he held a minority opinion. So too, can we be inspired by the example of our forefathers and mothers who made the decision to worship Hashem God against the popular view at the time, like Lori.
Just like Lori.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And we want to remind you that we are Israel is Real, and we are on the air every Friday, 10 to 11 in the morning. We are doing fundraising on a regular basis, so please do contact us at israelisraelnh.org. what are we? .com. IsraelIsRealNH.com. We want to thank Lori Lowenthal Marcus, the founder and president of Z Street, which is www.zstreet.org, zstreet.org. We're going to go out with another Zionist song by Bracha Tzvira and called Shir HaAvodah VeHaMelacha, the work song. So thank you for listening, WSMN 1590. Nashua's News and Talk.
Senator Betty Lasky is there for you. As a senator, Betty helped keep business in the state of New Hampshire. Senator Lasky supported business-friendly legislation to help